Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6, with the concluding part 19 to 24, relying on an omniscient God to handle difficult relationships. Some of our relationships with other people can be so difficult that we lack the ability to understand how to begin to address them. And we wonder whether we are part of the problem or whether the other party alone is the problem. Psalm 139 addresses this concern by applying three of God's attributes, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence to it. With Psalm 136, 1-6, in light of verses 19 and 24, focusing on applying God's omniscience to such difficult relationships. This psalm is such an incredible song. I'm breaking it down into three lessons. We're just going to deal with the application of one of God's attributes at a time. This week, we're dealing with God's omniscience. Next Sunday, we'll deal with God's omnipresence. And then the third Sunday, with his omnipotence relative to this issue of handling difficult relationships. It's all important. Well, I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we're thankful for your love for us. We thank you for your watch care over us as people. We thank you for your word and for the Spirit of God who indwells us as believers and who teaches us and who gives us discernment, who even equips us with the power to live the word of God. We ask this morning, Father, for wisdom, to heed your instruction, and then to rely upon your power that we might heed it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'm going to read just the first six verses, because that's what we're covering, and then I'll look at the last verses 19 to 24 of this incredible psalm. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me with the result that thou hast known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising, thou understandest my thought from afar. Thou surroundest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For before there is a word in my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind, that is as to time, and before, that's as to time, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too surpassing or too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain unto it. All right, now we're going to skip down to verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O great God. Depart from me, therefore, you men of bloodshed. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I abhor them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not grieved with those that rise up against thee. I abhor them with perfect abhorrence. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, with the result that you know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay, what happens as we go through each attribute, we'll deal with a section on the attribute, and then we'll apply it at the end of the relationship issue that David was facing. The numbering system in the song and the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible, so of course we're staying with the English Bible's numbering system for the lesson. So we translate Psalm 136, 1-6, in light of verses 19 to 24 as follows. This is for the director of music, a Psalm of David. O Yahweh, you have thoroughly examined me with the result that you have known all about me. When I was a student in my, third or fourth year at Dallas Seminary, we actually had to translate this psalm in class. And Dr. Walkie was our prof at the time, Bruce Walkie. And he clarified nuances to us and showed us the depth of this psalm, and so that's why we're taking time with it. God has thoroughly examined us with the result that he knows all about us. You, it's an emphatic pronoun, know my sitting down and my rising up. Whenever you have sitting down and rising up, sitting down is the opposite of rising up. It's called an antonymical pair. An antonymical pair in the Hebrew context refers to all the actions that occur in between, as well as those two actions. So in other words, God is thoroughly aware of every single activity in David's life. Think of it this way. God knows all about how you brush your teeth. Okay? He knows how you take a shower. He knows how you put your shoes on. We used to have a debate one time when we were, some men were meeting together. When we put our pants on, what leg do we put on first? Do we put the left on or the right? And we got into a long, lengthy debate on that because we couldn't think out. But God knows all about that. He knows how we drive the car. He knows how we deal with the dog, with the cat. All of that is very, very familiar to God. So you know all about my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thought from a distance, from afar. You winnow. Now, winnow, this is the technical word to winnow. And winnow, as you know, to winnow grain, you would take the grain, you'd shake it and throw it up in the air, and the wind would come and draw the chaff away, and the grain would land. And they would keep doing that until there was no more chaff. And then you would have just the grain and not the chaff. So God winnows. And this is a figure of speech. Actually, it's a figurative meaning to analyze. God carefully analyzes my going out and my lying down. To go out and to lie down deals with everything that you do in between the day. That's another antonymical pair designating all of the activities of the day. So that you are intimate with all of my ways. It's interesting that if God is doing this with David, he's certainly doing it with us. You can't think of a thing that you do, even habitually, that God is not already thoroughly aware of, and he has thoroughly analyzed it and looked at it, up one side and down the other. For before there is a word on my tongue, in other words, before you even speak a word, you know it completely, O Yahweh. God knows what you're going to say. He knows how you're going to say it. He knows the intonation which you're going to give when you say it. He knows when you're going to say it. That's tremendous knowledge that God has of us. You hem me in from behind and before. Now, this has to do with time. God knows where we came from. He knows when he put the DNA together and so forth in our mother's womb. And he knows all about our background up to this point. He also knows what's going to happen from this point on into 10 trillion years from now with you and me. And he knows all about that. He knows all about how that in the past and how that in the future relates to what you're doing right now. That's enormous knowledge. You hem me in from behind and before with the result that you lay your hand on me. The picture is coming after a bird that is hiding in a bush. And you're bringing one hand in from behind the bird, and you're bringing another hand in from in front, and then, boom, you got to grab the bird before you can even take off. We had a dog one time that was a bird dog, and she was a Weimaraner, it was a German, and she was a tremendous bird dog. She could creep up on a pheasant and grab the pheasant before the pheasant ever took off. She was that careful and that precise. And that's the picture here that God has of David. You hem me in from behind and before with the result that you lay your hand on me. Everything about our past, everything about our future, as it relates to the present, God knows thoroughly, absolutely thoroughly. Someday when you walk into the presence of God, you're going to be dealing with a being who's known about you forever, and he knows what you're going to be like trillions of years from now. It's going to be amazing to be in the presence of a person who has that kind of knowledge of us. And then David concludes, such knowledge is too incomprehensible or wonderful. Pil-e. This is the word that it can mean wonderful, but it means incomprehensible. It's surpassing beyond human capacity to wrap your head around it. Now, we're going to apply this. This is one of the three attributes that David applies to dealing with his difficult relationships. And the difficult relationships are in verses 19 to 24, so let me just translate that here now. Verse 19, if only you would slay the wicked, O Elohim. He changes the word to Elohim. This is the creator God versus just the God of Israel. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They, that's the bloodthirsty men, speak of you, that's God, with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do not I have an aversion to those who hate you, O Yahweh, and abhor those who rise up against you? There are several word meanings for the word hate. David actually uses the same word hate here, but it's inconceivable that he would be hating people in a sinful way. But he certainly has an aversion towards those who hate the Lord. And he abhors those who rise up against the Lord. I have only an aversion for them. I count them my foes. Thoroughly examine me, O Elohim. This refers back to what he was doing in verse 1. With the result that you know my heart, test me with the result that you know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be in me any offensive way, and lead me in the way everlasting. Tremendous. Okay, we note significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. There is a strong connection, obviously, between verse 1 and verse 23, the idea of God's thoroughly examining David with the result that he knew all about him. And verse 23 adds the subject of David's anxious thoughts, thoughts full of anxiety due to his relationship with oppressive enemies that he cannot handle, verses 19 to 22. So David was so concerned about having God address the difficult relationships he faced with his enemies that he asked the Lord to apply his omniscient knowledge of him to the difficult situation, that if the problem in the relationship with his enemies actually lay with David, that God might expose it to him, that David might confess it to the Lord, that he might be led of the Lord in God's everlasting way. So, the lesson is powerful. If we are overwhelmed by a difficult relationship, and we do not know if we're the cause of the difficulty or not, we can trust God to apply his infinite attribute of omniscience to examine us thoroughly, so as to ascertain the truth about our own hearts toward having him expose what possible sin might lie in us, that we might confess it to him. God can then lead us in his way of blessing. Incidentally, this is a tremendous psalm that we can use in reference to the issue of salvation. There are any number of Christians who struggle with fear that they may not be saved because they have an errant view of faith. They believe that maybe they didn't believe hard enough. And so they're going through life and they live with this constant fear that they're not saved. Okay. One way to handle it is to go to God and say, God, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't feel saved. You know, you're not supposed to feel that way anyway, but nevertheless, I don't know if I've really believed in you. I don't know really what faith is if you get to that point. Can you please apply this passage and try me and test me and see if there be some wicked way in me and then show me, expose it to me. I want to know what you know about my heart, so if I need to adjust, show me so I can make the adjustment. And I really believe the Lord will answer that because he's very concerned about the issue of faith and whether we're really believing in him or not. Genuinely, I honestly believe 99% of the time a person who prays that kind of a prayer is actually saved. Otherwise, he wouldn't be praying to God. He's just concerned. He has a problem with his epistemology or his apologetics or something, and God has to clear that up for him. But nevertheless, you can rely upon the Lord. God's omniscience, as described in verses 2 to 6, is to be noted. He knows all about our activities in life, all about our activities in a typical day, to where even before we speak a word, God has complete knowledge of it. Also, God has hemmed us in from behind, that is our past, and from before, that is our future. And he has laid his hand on us in the present, much as one might grab a bird in the bush before it can take off to fly. So God's knowledge of us is even contextual as to the times of our lives. So, David relied on God's infinite omniscience, that's his all-knowingness, to examine him thoroughly with the result that God knew him thoroughly to ascertain if David needed to make any adjustment to attain God's blessing in difficult relationships. So in application, may we rely on God's omniscience to evaluate our hearts toward correcting us as needed for blessing, especially relative to addressing troubling relationship trials we face that we find too hard in ourselves to handle. This is an invaluable psalm in view of the fact that there are some people who are abusive in relationships. I don't know if you've read Patricia Evans' book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship, or not. Some people in abusive relationships seek to control other people by an activity known as crazy making. Let me explain what crazy making is. They keep another person off balance as to what reality is by suddenly reacting extremely negatively to something or extremely mildly to something so that the person that they're seeking to abuse is caught off guard and doesn't know how to relate to them. And then they pass the blame on them. You're crazy, that kind of a thing. What it is, it's a form of verbal abuse and mental abuse and emotional abuse. So a person who's a victim of that would need a song like this. And that's often the way they pray. So I would encourage people to pray that way. And God will reveal to you if you're being had, if someone is doing a number on you that is unjust. I'm sure he will. Because he doesn't want you to be controlled. In fact, the Bible says don't be the slave of men. God doesn't want us to be controlled by a controlling type person. And he will expose to us what these type of people are so that we can avoid them. But this is an invaluable psalm. God wants us to be able to understand what reality is, to understand what is rationally correct. And he wants us to be settled about it. He wants us to have confidence that we can think aright and so forth. And he will clarify to us exactly what we need to know. Wonderful psalm. Wonderful psalm. This is, you're dealing with a person who knows all about you, all about how you think, how you act. He knows all about your habits, your unconscious activities. He knows the way you frame your words, the way you speak. He cares about us. And so we can entrust ourselves to that kind of a God to help us out when we run into difficulties. Okay, I just wanted to stop here just with this one attribute of God, omniscience. Next Sunday we'll deal with his omnipresence and then omnipotence. The omnipotence one deals with how God frames us in the womb of our mothers and how he puts us together. I want to take time with that because that's priceless. Dealing with where we're coming from. It also has tremendous application to the issue of abortion on demand and whatnot. But I'll open it up now for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson itself.